any human undertaking, it is very wise to connect that undertaking with Dharma, as we can learn from Naveen Krishna's book. There are two dimensions of Dharma. There are many dimensions of Dharma, but I would like to take out two, which are important for this talk. There is the Svadharma, that is the individual Dharma, which an individual person has to do, you could say the right way, the right path. And there is something like the universal Dharma. Now, if a person can somehow harmonize or connect his own life and his own activities in life with the universal Dharma, he all of a sudden experiences a support which is not at all easy to find in any other way. It's almost like, let me give an example. In the atmosphere, physicists tell us there's always a little electric tension. There are positive and negative particles floating through the sky. There are nowadays instruments which can surcharge that electric atmosphere, and they call it ionizer, make it and then the air is more healthy somewhat. What it means really is to increase the amount of energy or small type of electric energy. But then there is obviously the power of the electricity, which you can get by going into can you tell me, is it a faucet or no?
Socket,
thank you. The electric socket, and which can help you to do things which the electricity in the atmosphere can never help do. For instance, to generate that much energy that you can connect it to a heating system or to kitchen instruments or a TV set, etc. So, if you want to utilize that type of energy, you need to find the socket. So this universe is full of, in a similar way, full of incredible energy. But if you want to utilize it, you have to connect to your Svadharma, that is the socket, so to say, of your own life. That's where you can start. And once you do this, once you connect your own little life with the universal Dharma, the life starts for you. That means you don't have to do all this tremendous amount of self-generated effort, but you will be carried along by Dharma. There's a very nice illustration in the later parts of the Ramayana, which I would like to give you today. It's about a very interesting discussion between Sita Devi and Hanuman. As you know, when the battle of Kurukshetra, of Lanka was over, and the emperor of darkness, the prince of darkness, was lying on the battlefield, slain by the powerful arrow of Ram, Ram told Hanuman, "Please bring my Sita to me." Hanuman could feel the loving emotion in Ram's voice, and immediately jumped to the Ashokvan, where he remembered that Sita was held captive by the demons. So Hanuman landed in one leap in that Ashokvan and saw that Sita Devi, dressed in white, was under a tree and still crying, because all these demonesses were constantly threatening her and telling her, "Why do you want to marry Ram? He's a mere human being. Surrender to the Lord of Lanka and marry Ravan." So Hanuman landed. And all the demons went, and just ran back, frightened. Hanuman said to Sita, "Just look into the eastern direction, which is always auspicious, because the sun of good hope rises there. In the meantime, I will kill these demons. You don't have to look, just look towards the east." But Sita forbade Hanuman. She said, "Don't kill them. I am their guest. How can I allow that my hosts are killed? How can I allow such an undharmic killing?" Hanuman said, "What?" And then Sita very firmly said, "I am not like that hunter." "Oh," said Hanuman, "who was that hunter and what did he do wrong?" "Listen," said Mother Sita, "once that dangerous hunter was hunting in the forest for prey, but all of a sudden he could see by the signs of the forest that he was hunted. You know, when there are certain birds making certain sounds, you know that the tiger is on the chase. I lived in the jungle and I had to learn all these things. You know, you have to, and then the snakes will move in one direction when the tiger is moving along." And the hunter could understand, "My God, the tiger, the powerful tiger is hunting." And soon the tiger was visible to him. He jumped from behind the trees. The hunter began to run. And he ran and he made it in the last second on top of, he climbed a tree into safety. When he was sitting in the tree panting, he looked up and he saw there was a bear. Bear upstairs, tiger downstairs. This is not auspicious. Now Varun sits upstairs, not a bear. Varun is vegetarian. We don't have to fear anything. Oh, the hunter was trembling. The tiger was very hungry and he said to the bear, "Kick him down. He's mine. I was first." The bear looked at the hunter, looked at the tiger and said, "I can't do it. He's my guest." The tiger was mildly surprised. He thought deeply and then changed his strategy. He said to the human being, "Listen, I don't mind whether I eat human meat or bear meat. Just kick the bear down and I spare your life." The hunter thought very deeply and then it came close to the bear. The bear went down. And when the hunter was close enough, he went kick. And the bear lost his fragile or delicate balance and fell down. But just before he hit the ground, the bear was able to catch hold of a branch. He swung a little and then climbed up the trunk. Hare Krishna. And there was a telephone call from the tiger. The tiger had again changed his strategy. He called the bear. And he said, let us wait how this conversation ends. It might affect our story. No need to pick phones. Some peace is required during the lecture. So the tiger called the bear and said to the bear, what type of guest do you have? He's prepared to sacrifice your life. One last time, kick that hunter down. And the bear smiled and he said, no, tiger. The hunter may not follow his dharma. The hunter may not live according to principles, but that does not mean that I should change my dharma and forsake my principles. I have to follow my dharma, because he who gives up his dharma comes to ruin. Sita said, see, Hanuman, I'm not like that hunter. I also follow my dharma. I was a guest to these demonesses. I ate their food. Now I cannot go against them. I cannot sacrifice their life. I have to request you very strongly, spare their life. Enough violence has been done. So Hanuman could see the point of Sita and followed her instruction. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, I am telling this story not to entertain you with another story which you will soon forget. I'm telling you this to alert you to the point that if you connect with your own dharma, even though everyone else around you may not do it, even though everyone else fails his or her dharma, if you remain truthful to your dharma, there is no problem. You will experience universal support. You will experience in your life that you are on the right path, and that the universal forces of Dharma will rush to your aid and support you on your path. It's not always easy for us to find out what we should do for the rest of our lives, isn't it? Some of you who are young people, and they would wish to know, what is my path? What should I do? They go to consultation to Buddha Vasana, Buddha Bhavana, and Naveen Krishna. Tell us, what is the right way for me? Huh? Should I stay or should I go? Should I marry or should I stay brahmachari or brahmacharini or something in between? That's the single person, huh? The in between. So should I do this or should I do that? It's sometimes very difficult to give an answer. Which is taking account all the details which are necessary. But a good starting point is to know what is your own true path now. What is your dharma now? And when you start there, then only will the rest become revealed to you. It's something like that. When you enter the Himalayas, there are many paths which you can take, and it's very difficult to know what path is the best. But start walking in the right way, and then the way will tell you the further details you need to know on your way. And what I want to say is, enter Dharma now. Enter Dharma with the principles which are obvious in your life, like things which you know, to keep promises, for instance, which you have made, to be selfless and try to bring the best out in other people. Start with these simple things, and you will see very soon the rest of your way will become revealed to you. I'm saying this now in context of the marriage of Krishna Kirtan and Kusturi Manjari. Not everything is revealed at the moment. Not everything is clear. The future is still an unknown in certain details. But you know what you have to do now, or what you can do now. And if you remain committed to this, you will see from there that the rest of the path is revealed to you. I would like to speak a little bit now on something which I feel stretches beyond the ordinary concept of Dharma into the spiritual concept of Dharma, which we all call Sanatan Dharma. I want to say something which will be shocking if you don't listen to me to the end. So I will say this shocking thing, and I do this purposefully to wake up even those who have as of yet only listened on automatic pilot. In other words, something went in here. It was something Krishna consciousness most properly, and it went out there. I will now shake you a little bit so that you will listen very attentively. A marriage is not an affair between two people. It's an affair between three people. As all of you know, this is the death for every marriage. If a third person is there, if they're on their handy, you find SMS to a third person. This is too much. It will destroy any hopes you ever had in that relationship. What do I mean with saying it, that a marriage is not something that a marriage should be a triangle relationship? There must be Krishna in the center of the marriage. Not just you and your partner, Krishna. Prabhupada talks so nicely about it in a purport which I read when we were all together in Buckland Hall. In that purport, Srila Prabhupada said, two people alone can never know each other fully. Only when there is Krishna can they know each other in their true light. And he gave an example. When you walk together in darkness, you cannot see the other person. You cannot see the expression in the face to what you just said, because it's dark. But when the sun rises, by the light of the sun, you can see the other person. So when I'm entering any type of relationship, especially, of course, that sacred relationship of marriage, I need to have Krishna there in the center. I need to have the Krishna sun in order to recognize my partner and see also the real needs of the partner, to see and to sensitively in a Krishna conscious way, create a forum for the marriage to work. The forum in which a marriage always works is if a marriage can be lived in such a way that it brings the best out in the other person. I have seen and heard of relationships which bring the worst out in the other person. Like strong feelings of aggression or strong feelings of this gets on my nerves and so on. Or strong feelings also of uncontrollable desires of different sorts. But I have seen and heard of marriages which bring out the best in each other, which bring out what we could call the orientation which will bring all the auspiciousness in our lives, the transcendental orientation, the orientation to Krishna. So in a good marriage which is lived according to dharmic principle brings out the best in each other. And I am not giving a typical sannyas class today. It brings also feelings of appreciation. It brings feelings of genuine love. It brings out feelings of genuine affection, tender affection even, because one feels gratitude towards the other person, which is the starting point of real love. Gratitude. Oh, you are helping me. This relationship helps me to move towards my goal, because let us never forget, all those who marry in Krishna consciousness are special souls who have the orientation to move towards Krishna, the desire to move towards Krishna. Instead of seeing the other person as an obstacle in fulfilling one's own mission in life, one begins to see the other person as a genuine help in this direction, a genuine support, a genuine, let me say, and English. I spoke German too long. An irreplaceable partner in Dharma. Irreplaceable. You need that person to move forward, because that person helps you to bring out the best in you, that transcendental orientation. And that's a real blessing, a real and absolute blessing. So, but this only works if you enter the marriage through the door of Dharma. When you enter the marriage through the door of Adharma, then that will bring the worst out of you. If you want that the best comes out of you and in the other partner, you must enter the marriage through the door of Dharma, Grihastha Dharma. And that is very easy if there is Krishna. I always ask myself in my life, I start my day like this: Krishna, let this day be for your pleasure. And when I end my day, I just go into bed and say, my dear Lord, whatever I've thought and done with my activities, kayena manasava cha, what I have spoken with my words, what I have thought with my intelligence, may that be offered to you. And if I have failed you in some ways, kindly excuse me. I'm trying to do it better tomorrow. Now offer your day to Krishna, to the third person. Yes, you should all, Krishna Kirtan, in your mobile phone in Kasturi Manjari, there should be frequent messages: Krishna, please protect me. Krishna, please guide me. Krishna, please let me remember you throughout the 24 hours of the day, if you won't find another name in the mobile phone of the partner, let us say in Krishna Kirtan's mobile phone, there would be another man. Oh, Meera. Hare Krishna. I hope there is no Meera. What? No, I think I'm sorry. I'm sometimes trying to make my point so clear that even those who only occasionally switch their hearing apparatus on attention, that they take something home with them. Yes, so. I think, let us put these comparisons aside. They are not very tasteful. What I want to say is really send messages to Krishna and receive messages from Krishna. Short message service, the SMS, should be used in this way, in a devotional way, so that Krishna is present in our marriage and if we enter the door through that Krishna conscious entrance, there will be very good things. A few things which I would like to say is marriage will not solve all the problems of life, but it can supply you with the strength which is required to better solve your problems. Marriage in itself can supply you with the strength which is required on your path to solve the problems. Second thing I always say to the devotees who get married and also even to people who invite me to speak at their marriages out, who are mildly interested in Krishna consciousness, I tell them, please don't think that your partner is the all in all. He is like you, a soul on his or her journey back home, back to Godhead. Krishna is the all in all. If you rely on Krishna, or if you put Krishna there, then you will see that the extraordinary help is there. And also, I would like to encourage those who are married or who are getting married, is sometimes when we do marry, or when we are in a relationship, we cut all other relationships to have more time for that one relationship which we like to improve and which we like to build on. But often, although this is natural for the beginning, maybe, but it is necessary, very soon it is necessary, to keep on your relationship with other friends. The Matajis, I can tell you, men are selfish and limited. You better have your friends, your contacts with friends on an ongoing basis, and so on. That is true, and of course I don't want to say anything hard on the Matajis. Usually the Matajis get it all the time, so I. let us shift the burden on a little bit. Have friends, that's so important. Sadhu Sangha, from where powerful blessings can be generated. Men, keep your Sadhu Sangha friends alive, that relationship, and women, keep your Mataji relationships alive and well, because so much strength can come from there. Finally, I want to say a last comment. You know the saying that, I have heard it many times when I was a young boy in Germany. If you want people to build a ship, don't tell them to get wood and nails, but teach them to long for the big ocean. You know, in the same way, if you want people to have a good marriage, there may be so many rules and so many good tips, very good tips, but the main thing is to keep the longing for the Lord alive. And my dear devotees, as long as this longing is in your heart, the longing to go back home, back to God, and to please Krishna through your service, nothing can go wrong. This longing for Krishna will teach you all the important things which you need to know, the small details. That longing for Krishna, Krishna, I want to serve you. Krishna, I want to be close to you. Krishna, I want that you take my little life into your hands like a powerful man may take a little weak bird in his hand and protect the bird from all obstacles of bad weather and praying animals. Now, if you think of Krishna, please protect me. Krishna, please let me come to you. Krishna, let me love you. Krishna, let me come home to you. Then this yearning will teach you all about the nails and the wood which you need to build a good marriage. You know, that will teach you everything. And I find out that, like no other process, the singing of the Lord's holy name will keep that longing alive. Many of you have either been at the Birmingham 24-hour kirtan, or you have heard about it, or you have been in the past to it, so you know about it. You know, when you chant really in a good association with devotees, afterwards you really feel more, oh, I want to be Krishna conscious. I want to serve you. Have you noticed that? I always notice after big kirtan events or after retreats that devotees come to me and say, Maharaj, I don't want to go really back into my ordinary life. Yes, there is a voice which wants me to go back to my ordinary life, but there is now a stronger voice which says, be careful that you don't lose it all again. And they report that their longing has become bigger. Their desire has become bigger. My dear devotees, my dear friends, what would we be without the right desire? If we have the wrong desires, we will always go the wrong path. The right desire is the best protection for us. And this right desire, this desire to come to Krishna and be connected with Krishna, comes when the mirror of the mind has been cleansed of all these old vasanas. Old vasanas means the seeds of desires. We all have so many desires still in us. You will be surprised if I would tell you. You wouldn't believe me. Only in 40 years you knew. You were right, Maharaj. There are many desires which are so bad that we don't even want to hear about them. They are there in seed form from previous lives. And there's nothing which can help you to get rid of them. Not even the best psychoanalyst of London. So on. Only the kirtan can help you to get these vasanas, they are called, out of your subconscious mind. And what to speak of other gross desires, which are known to you. The kirtan can wipe the surface of your mind free from these wrong desires. And the holy name goes deeper than the surface of your mind. It enters your unconscious mind and takes the vasanas, the seeds out of the of that portion of your mind, or the portion of your subtle body. So I really want to encourage the young couple and also all of you to make this kirtan a proper culture. We know kirtan is something which we all, I think, have to learn. My dear devotees, I have given many kirtan retreats and holy name retreats, and I read as many scriptures as I could get my hands on, and I had even devotees in Sanskrit, researching Sanskrit for me on different textual places. And I can just tell you, I still consider myself a learner in the art of chanting the holy name. And I think it's good. I want to encourage all of you to enter the school of chanting the holy name. There are many things which you may still detect, which will help you. Please do not give up your chanting and thinking, yes, yes, we have heard it, we have done it, but I'm totally bored when I'm in kirtan. Please don't rest your case there, or you say, oh yes, we heard many lectures about doing japa. But when I do japa, I mean, it's really a madhouse turns loose with what happens every morning when my mind gets on. You don't know how to chant if you feel these things, but you can learn it, and you can become a genuine devotee who can meet Krishna through the holy names. If you chant with genuine longing, my dear devotees, I will only say this much. Something will happen. The holy name will descend into your heart. Have you ever seen a waterfall coming down and coming on a stone? Then it will bifurcate. That's not the right English word. It will divide into two. Please help me. Is it called sprays or
streams?
Streams. But I mean, really, it comes down and then through two splashes. For now, in because we don't have, maybe I should say it in German. But what would be the right German for this? We would maybe have to ask a water ontologist, you know, if there are such scientists at all. But you know what I mean. It comes down like this, huh? So when the holy name, when Krishna descends, I'm not speaking of, you know, trying to sing. I'm speaking of a revelation of Krishna who is attracted to your genuine chanting. And he comes on your tongue. There will be two sprays of Krishna. One is something will go in your heart. And your heart will become ecstatic. And the other is when you sing, the other spray will go on into the audience, and the audience will feel, I can feel Krishna's presence in this kirtan. I can feel it, although I can't see Krishna as of yet, but he's just around the corner. I can feel him. So this is what happens when you are genuinely chanting with a sincere feeling of longing. Oh, Krishna, please accept me in your service. Huh? Then Krishna will come down to you. He will descend in the form of his holy name. And one thing will go in your heart. One Krishna will go in your heart. And then Krishna is unlimited. He will go also to the hearts of the many people. When you chant the holy name, multiplies like Krishna multiplied in the Rasa dance. Yes. So I wish you all the best. I have gone over my time. Reached my natural limitation. In summary, I wanted to encourage the young couple, find the entry door in your marriage in the Dharma, at least in the Dharma where it's obvious to you. Then also, please bring a third person into your marriage, Krishna. And the best way I really recommend you to do that is to become a chanting Grihastha couple. I have no doubt, I have seen Krishna Kirtan, and I, by Krishna's mercy, he has helped me very much with many very, very intelligent suggestions, and I'm very happy that he has brought me back to Pandavasena. I was previously, when Naveen Krishna was there, I had been in, with Pandavasena sometimes, but somehow due to life's cruel mission, I have been doing many other things and not been so connected over the years, but Krishna Kirtan has successfully grabbed me by the neck. And I have also seen Kasturi Manjari. I mean, anyone who knows even a little bit about human psychology can see immediately that Kasturi Manjari has a wonderful and dignified character, very good person. One can see immediately by the very obvious signs. And I certainly wish you all the best for your marriage. I have no doubt that it will be a wonderful, how did Prabhupada say, doubling the forces, huh? Doubling strengths. It will, two strengths will join and then it's more strengths. And I wish you all the best, and may your path be blessed, and so on. And may you be able to continue your wonderful services which you render to the community since many years. I'm very honored to be here in your home and to speak these simple words. And yes, please know I'm on your side, that I'm on every devotee's side, but what I want to say is, yes, I'm there to serve or to support you, maybe that's a better word. And yes, and I wish all the devotees to kindly give them your blessings. Now, how do you give blessings? It's very important. Have you ever been asked, please give me your blessings? Have you been asked? And have you said, me? And how do you do that? You know, it's almost like flying an airplane. I don't know how to do that, you know. This is how you give blessings. You connect with your heart. What that means is you switch off the mind and your intelligence for a moment and go into that realm where we human beings feel our feelings are there. And then you take the best feelings which you have there, the best wishes, the best prayers, the best intentions, and you just take the, connect with them. Oh, may Krishna Kirtan and Kasturi Manjari. May they live a wonderful life in Krishna consciousness. You connect with this, and then you just bring that out in either you can do it silently. I always do it silently, but because we are the Hare Krishnas and a loud society, we can also do it with Hari Bol. But it's not an empty Hari Bol. It's not a lip Hari Bol. It must be a heart connected Hari Bol. Huh? That's the whole idea of blessings. You must collect good intentions there in the bottom of your heart, and you must wish them all the best, and then we can say Hari Bol. So I request all of you to sit tall. This is only for attention's sake. Huh? Then we will make a little silence here. A little silence. I will give you a sign. This is the beginning of the silence, and then comes this sign, and that means the end of the silence. And so I request you all to go in your heart and collect good wishes and good prayers for Kasturi Kamanjari, Kasturi Manjari, Krishna Kirtan. And then when I have given the second signal, we can say three times Hari Bol. So start now. That was a very powerful Hari Bol. Did you see, mark the difference? When you connect your voice with your heart, oof, the voice, that's the whole art of Kirtan, really. Then all of a sudden there's power in the vibration. Hare Krishna. Dobro. So now, time is not always on our side here. What should we do now?
So, many of us have work tomorrow, and Maharaj also, and Parnasakya Mataji, and I don't know if there's others. There might be a few more coming, so.
The Hari Bol to the children?
Yeah,
okay, yes. Yeah, so we will do the same process again. Wow, this now is a meditation on the little children in Vaishnava children in who are under the heart of the mothers, who are at the heart of the mothers, nourished by the hearts of their mothers. What I recommend to all of you who are pregnant is a reading of the Bhagavatam to your children by some brahmana. That's very, very good. The mothers, huh? You can find some good brahmana devotees to whom you have faith and request them to come to your house in a peaceful situation, and then they can read a selected passage from the Bhagavatam. You can be there with your husband, and that vibration of the Bhagavatam reassures the baby very, very much. Because after all, the baby is in a narrow condition of life. You know, it's a little narrow. It's exciting, you know, to, then birth will come. And that Bhagavatam reading is just the vibration which they hear, this powerful vibration of the best of the Puranas. Will pacify the maybe anxieties of the baby and the mother, and it's really mystical what happens when this is done. So we will do, but I'm afraid if we say loud Hari Bols to the children, I mean they go like ah, they may what could we do? I think we will dedicate a very soft bhajan to them. But if they go, imagine you are in the womb, you're just spacing out a little bit, and then Hari Bol. But we can say softly Hari Bol if you. Okay, so. Serious work has to be done. Sit tall. Then imagine in your mind's eye the little children. You were once in that situation, under the heart of your mother. You were. There was a time when you remembered how many births you had taken and forgotten Krishna. Now you you need some support or to remember Krishna. So we will do like this. I will give you a sign and then you can connect with your heart. Collect blessings for the little children. And then we will say, not too loud, Hari Bol. I will say one time Hari Bol alone, so that you know how it's appropriate. And then, okay, connect now. We'll say it now alone, and then we will say it three times together. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.
I just would like to end the evening. Many of you, if you...